I hope that we're all desiring to get out of this meeting all that we can. I realize that these meetings are important, and I believe they're of the Lord. So if you're here and you have any need, we'll take advantage of this. Could be you're here today and you just don't have courage. I believe you can get courage. Maybe you've lost some of your passion. It'd be a good place to restore your passion. Things happen sometimes in life and we get weary and tired, and sometimes we don't perform like we know we should. There's an answer for that. Sometimes we're done wrong, and there can be a little seed come into there that we hold. You know, you can take care of that too. Many times I think we'll go through these kind of meetings, but don't really take advantage of what they're for. The Lord's given us a time and a space to come together to focus ourselves. The songs aren't just to entertain us. They draw our spirits to a place to be able to get an answer. It brings us to a place. It's a good time to put away work next week. It's a good place to put away the thoughts and cares of life and what's going to do, and focus in on the fact that I've got a soul. And I want the Lord to help me with that, so that I can go back to my job and go back to my farming and go back to life with victory in my soul, knowing God met me and helped me. I don't know anyone that would testify that I've always been on top of it all the time. But I can testify to you, I've not been on top all the time, but I've always been able to go back and get on top. I've always been able to find the Lord, and the Lord give me the victory that I needed. So, Lord, help us today to take advantage of that. And I want to start this morning with a song. Not that I'm going to sing it, but I like to think about it. Number 223 in our book. Title of it is, I'm Going On. I'm Going On. God is the strength of our life and keeps us. I have no doubt about my inabilities to do anything by myself. It's God that keeps us. But God works with our determination, folks. God works with what we'll give Him to work with. The writer here got a hold of something that was very important. This was the passion, the desire, the resolve, if you will, of a man that wanted to make it. See? And he wrote it and he penned it this way. He said, I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith until life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. That's big boasting. That's determination and resolve. That's exactly what I intend on doing with all my heart. I intend on letting nothing deter me from that purpose and that desire that I'm going to make heaven. I'll never more turn back. Defeat I shall not know. I don't know just exactly how much victory this man was desiring, but it sounds like he wanted it all. I don't mean to end up in defeat. Might be a bump. Might have to go back and change some things, sure. But I mean to do it if I have to. I'll go at whatever, I'll do whatever I have to do to be able to make it. For God will give me the victory. If what? Just onward I shall go. So that means I'm going to have to say sometimes, it don't look real good, but I'm going to go on anyway. Because just beyond that is victory in God. God never loses a battle, and He never loses anyone that's determined to live for Him either. If we'll determine today that I'm going to serve the Lord through it all, No matter what comes, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to see what the end of that is. The Lord will meet us on that. He'll never ever forsake an honest soul. Then he says, should opposition come, should foes obstruct my way, should persecution's fire be lit, as in the ancient day, with Jesus by my side, his peace within my soul, no matter if the battle's hot, I mean to win the goal. Come what may, I'm going to go through it in victory with the Lord. I see a shining crown awaiting over there. I see a mansion all prepared and decked with beauties rare. Shall that which intervenes deprive me of my right? Nay, on I'll go until I reach the city of delight. Then forward let us go, our hearts with love aflame, our snowy banners borne aloft, inscribed in Jesus' name. The host of evil flee, and the heavens open gate. Invite me now to hasten where eternal glory waits. The resolve of the writer was that I mean to keep taking one step after another. I intend to let the battles fall behind me. In the things that opposition comes, I intend to be able to look back on them, every one of them. I intend to look back on them and be able to say, the Lord blessed. I'm going on. Determination to go on. I hope we all have that. But not only that, but the resolve to make it a good run all the way through, to do what the Lord would have us to do. So we want to look at a scripture in Hebrews, the 4th chapter of Hebrews. In the first verse, it says, let us therefore fear, lest he promise, being left us, never entering into his rest. If any of you seem to come short of it. Back when I was a youngster, I remember my dad played in a horseshoe tournament. And on teams. And he came down to the last game. And his team had 20. You go to 21 to win. His team had 20, and the other team had about 13. They needed one point to take home this big old trophy. Was no second place winners. Was no third place. They was first place, a big old trophy with a guy with a horseshoe on it. And you got to take that home if you won it out of all these teams. If you won, you got to take that home. They needed one point to take that home. But the one point didn't come. The other team came back and won the game. There is not at my dad's house today a big trophy where he won the tournament. It's not there. My uncle, after that, feeling sorry for my dad and his loss, or being a little aggravating, I don't know which one it was really, he wanted to sport him a little. He made him a little, handcrafted him this real nice little trophy that had a horseshoe on it. And he engraved on that little trophy the words, almost nearly, but not quite hardly. And if I had any title for my message this morning, that's what it would be. Almost nearly, but not quite hardly. This scripture here is talking about, I think there's a reference in here or an analogy in this scripture about coming up short as in a race. We don't race one another, so the analogy isn't that. Coming up short in a race, but what the writer was trying to say, in a race where you race, there is one winner. And if you get outrun by 100 yards, you lose. And if you get outrun by a nose, you lose. But it isn't that we was running against one another. What the writer was trying to say was, if you don't make it in, you don't make it. If you come up short in your life, there is no trophy to take home. There is no reward. And Lord, help us today that coming up short is not what we do, but that we are able to get there and able to make it. That we put out what it needs, whatever it takes, Lord. Help me to be able to cross that final finish line. To be able to enter into God's eternal rest. I know there's a rest here. But to enter into God's eternal rest, and that I don't come up short of it, or that I don't get it or gain it, that I don't allow that discouragement to make me come up short. I don't let that root of bitterness, that time somebody said something to me, that I don't allow that. I don't allow the cumulative effect of relationships in my life to cause me not to make it, that I get something in my heart. But we have an opportunity today to deal with those kind of things in our life. But if we're not careful, we make an excuse for that and we feel like, I'm running a pretty good run here. I've been saved for years and the saints know me and I have all these credentials in my life. And yet, there's an area there that's going to bring you up short in your life. And the writer was interested in this here in Hebrews, a fear that you come up short of being able to end in it, because it's like a race that you never cross the finish line of. My dad does not have a trophy that he can say, I one time won this big horseshoe pitching tournament, because he didn't win. They beat everybody that came up to him. Everybody that beat him, they beat him and set him down. Beat him and set him down. But there was a team that came up and they almost beat him and set him down. And they almost laid hold of that. And that's the best thing my dad could say, was almost nearly, but not quite hardly. I let it slip in the last moments. What a thought that we could live that way. A fearful thought that we could devote time, life, attention. We could give those things. We could sacrifice even. Give them ourselves. And yet at the end of it, what a fearful thought to think that there is a coming up short. Just almost got there. Just almost won it. There was one time a race that I remember reading about. It was a woman's triathlon. That's where they would run a marathon, 26.2 miles. Then they would jump in the water and swim for 4 or 5 miles, whatever the distance was. Then they'd get out of there. I think it was actually bicycled first. They bicycled 120 miles. Then swam for 5 miles. Then they run what was equivalent to a marathon, 26.2 miles. Grueling. It's called the Iron Woman contest. Anyway, there was a woman that run that. She got out to a great lead. And she expended herself to win this race. She got up within sight of the ribbon, of the finish line. People on both sides cheering her on. She was pushing everything that she had. And she got to, she staggered. She staggered and she'd stop. She was completely gone. She had tried to take a few more steps. And finally, she went down. She couldn't be helped. So she struggles to her feet and gets up and tries to get to that finish line. She had a great lead over the rest of them. And she struggled on. She fell again. She gets up. She struggles. Almost nearly. Got it. Almost. Right there it is. I see it. I'm almost there. She got up and she struggled. She kept going. She kept going. Finally, she got down to, she couldn't aren't even moving. She started crawling. See it in sight. It's just up there. But time was going. Other runners was running. Time was elapsing. She was crawling. She was trying. She'd have to stop. Lay and rest. They tried to cheer her on. She lost all body function. She lost her integrity. But she gave it all. She gave it all. I'm going to make it. You know, she got up within just a few yards. Crawling, struggling, being cheered on. And someone runs by her. Almost, she won. Almost, she made it. Almost, there was the words, well done. Almost, there was the trophy. Almost, there was the crown. She did not go down in history as the winner. She did not get first place. She didn't get second place. She almost got first place. No one knows her name probably now because she didn't make it. Folks, there's something important about going on. There's something important about taking care of all of it today. Would it be to anyone's interest for the doctor to open them up and take out the tumor and then their report B is, we almost got it all. You be happy. We almost got all that cancer. That's not ever good news to say I almost done it. I almost took care of that. So it is in life to say I almost did it but left something there. That thing that's left there will be your destruction. That's the thing we need to take care of today. If there is any place in there, folks, don't come up short of what the Lord doesn't have a victoryless salvation. He's got one that's thorough, which it's all the way you can have the victory. You can say, I don't have any courage. You can have courage today. You can say, I don't have any passion left for the things of God. It can be renewed. It can be renewed. You can have it today. You can say, I've let myself go and I've got things into my life that's got a hold of me. Those things can be delivered today through the power of God. He isn't a coming up short God. He wants to deliver in those things. Oh, the secret and the hidden things. There is a lot of secret and hidden things. It's not secret to God today. God knows where you're at today and He knows what you're harboring in your life. I don't know. We don't know, but God knows. Surely He knows, and that'll be the thing. I almost went to heaven will be an awful statement in eternity. I almost got through the gates. I almost lived forever with the Lord. I was almost there, but I didn't get there. Let us therefore fear. Let us fear the day. I read a story one time of a young man that worked down into the gold pits in South America. They had these vast working pits that they would pay some of these men that lived down there $1 a day. To go down these ladders into these pits 40, 60 feet deep. And they would load them with sacks of rocks and they would climb back up out of there and pour them into these things. There was a young man that longed to have his own, be his own man and do his own. So he worked diligently packing rocks, getting $1 a day until he was able to buy him his own claim, his own place that he could dig for his own gold. So he did it and he labored and he worked and he got to the point that he bought it. And he worked this and for a full year he worked his little claim. It wasn't very big, but he worked it diligently. But he never come up with anything. He never found his gold. And he worked and he worked and there come a time that after a long working and nothing coming in that he finally, his resolve failed. He didn't get anything. You know how it is. We need a little coming along sometimes. Sometimes a little don't come along. But the resolve was there that one day I'm going to get something. I'm going to have something. But he had thrown it all into this. And finally his resolve was gone. And he said, I can't do it no more. So he cut his loss. And he sold his little bit of land there. He sold it. The man that bought it and came out to it the very next day. And through the night, there was a very hard rain. So it was quite muddy, dirty in there. But the man waded out into his claim and got out there. And there was something in his way And he started pulling with that was in his way. He started pulling it. And what was in his way was one of the largest gold nuggets that the world had ever seen. That was a true story. The young man was a pick stroke short of the reward of all that labor. He was just that close, if you may say, to his golden nugget. I wonder how many times we miss because of fading resolve. How much we miss the blessings of God. How many marriages could be gold? There's only a pick stroke away from it. You're sitting under the answer. God's the answer to it. Working with your life. The resolve to do it. You see it fade, don't you? Don't you? You have high expectations and yet the expectation fades and yet a pick stroke away. One motion to the altar, perhaps. One giving of yourself. One surrender to God. One move towards God. One obedience to God brings a whole different life. How many times the resolve has left souls in the lurch? How many times has there been those, I don't know, only eternity to answer these questions, but how many times has a congregation not sprung up because of the loss of resolve? That just one pick stroke, one testimony, one song short of someone hearing, of someone responding. Oh, that we wouldn't come up short of what God has for us today. He's got the best interest of our life in His mind. He's got our heart, our well-being. He's got our soul in His mind. He's not playing around with it, folks. There's something God wants to do, and we don't want us to come up short. But not by giving up too short, giving in. But the writer said of that song, I'm not going to quit when it looks bad. I'm not going to quit when I'm not getting anything, it seems like. I'm not going to quit when the persecution come. I'm not gonna quit when it seems like people don't like me. I'm not gonna quit through all those. I mean to go right on. There's gold here. If I keep going long enough, I'll own it. If I keep going, I'll be able to gain it. I'll be able to get it for myself. There has been in the scriptures, I believe, people that gave up. They gave up, but God had something for them. The blessing was there of obedience and of God working in their life, but they quit. They didn't push it on to the limits. They wasn't obedient to do it. They almost did it, but they didn't do it. I'm reminded of King Saul, who was told to go and utterly destroy. Who was it? The Amorites? The Amalekites. Utterly destroy him. I remember him. And the order was to go and utterly destroy him. If you look into that, you'll find that King Saul did an enormous amount of things to do that. He got an army up. You have to feed them. You have to water them. You got to put them in ranks and orders. It would have took a major operation to go down there and do that. All the logistics of it is enormous of that many people. But he did it. He went down there with all of that he had to do. Do you know, in my mind, he did 99% of what he was supposed to have done. There was one thing he didn't do. He didn't obey the Lord. He did a great amount of things. You know, he almost got across the line. He killed everybody but the king. Well, now, come on, give him some credit here. I mean, that's a lot of killing. He killed everybody but the king. Well, so let's proportion that out. Let's do a curve on this. And he'll slide in on the curve. But he come up short. He didn't get the trophy. He didn't get the blessing. Because he come up short of doing what the Lord wanted him to do. They killed all those animals except for the very best ones. The ones that really looked, that had potential there. So he brings it back. He almost done the will of God. Folks, can you imagine saying, in judgment, I almost done the will of God. Lord, I did this. I just almost done the will of God. It won't be a blessing hooked to that. It'll be depart from me. Lord, help us. In John, the sixth chapter of John, I'm going to probably go to the 59th verse. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" My margin says it's difficult to understand. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What then if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with the Lord, with him, no more with him." Now, it must have been quite a thing to have been able to have said that I walked with the Lord. That's quite a credentials to say, well, I was his follower. I was a follower of the Lord. But they quit following him. There's no trophy for that. There is no reward a crown for saying I quit, I gave up. But what caused them to give up? Something worked on them and they said it's not worth it to go that far or to do that. They come up short. That's what they did. They had seen the Lord. They had experienced the Lord. They had heard the words of life. Something stirred their heart that moved them toward him to start with. They never followed him to start with. Something caused them to be curious. Something caused them to be there. The Lord worked with them, dealt with their heart, brought them in there. No doubt everybody in this building has been moved upon by the Lord's calling to their life, desiring to their life, bringing them on to the life. At what point can you answer? At what point would you say, it's enough? It's enough. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. I find that a lot of people that don't know they have it have a place in there that says that's enough. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going this way because of that. Does this offend you? Does my words offend you? Does it offend you that I tell you that the flesh profiteth nothing? Folks, if you fall in the flesh, it profiteth you nothing. It'll get you nothing in this. It'll cause you a downfall. It's a cancer. It's a plague to every man. It needs to be conquered by the Spirit. If you pamper the flesh, if you go to the flesh, if you have to dress the flesh, do those things to the flesh, it's a cancer to you. Does this offend you? Oh, I hear what you're saying, Brother Marty. I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to go my way. I'm going to live for God in my way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not the judge of it, but my prayer is I fear lest you come up short. That you don't make it. That you're one stroke away from the goal. That you never enter in. That you never see it. The finish line is right there before you, but you never get to cross it. What an awful thing. I still have in my mind very vividly the look on Brother Sammons' face as he stared off through the air and said, it'd be an awful thing for me to miss it after all this. And I was shocked by Sammons. Don't talk like that. No, there was something here saying, I can't come up short. I've preached, I've traveled a million miles, he used to say. I've seen people saved. I've seen them healed. I've seen them raised up. I've seen them delivered. I've seen all that. But it ought to be awful after all of that I've seen and known and understood to come up short. There was something inside there saying, I got to be careful. There's something in there saying, Lord, there's something I got to have more. I got to have more of you. You got to help me here. I felt it before myself. Yeah, sure. I can go the country over. I can stand up and preach. I can be faithful like that. But folks, sometimes there's something in there that needs to be dealt with. in our lives. Sometimes it's, I ain't talking sin or going away. I'm talking about, Lord, if you don't fortify me here, if you don't help me and give me passion, if you don't give me more courage, if you don't give me more strength, take heed to those that think they stand. Take heed lest you fall. I don't want to come up short. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Peter, I think Simon had some resolve. He said, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you believe that today? How many ways is there? How many ways can you make it to heaven? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way outside that way. Thank the Lord for it. We don't want to come up short. Almost nearly, but not quite hardly. One throw. One closer place. One point. One point. And I'm the winner. One act of humility. And I win. One act of pride instead. And I don't take it home. One move to God. One move to my brother and say, forgive me. One move to God to say, I have a bitterness in my heart. Lord, remove it and help me to do it right. One move to say, I made a disaster of this situation in my relationship. Lord, bring it home to me again. Restore unto me the right spirit, David said. Restore unto me a right mind and a right heart. Give me something inside me, Lord, that I can know that I'm going to be able to get across the line. Oh, I'm not racing you. It isn't a competition with you. I don't want to come up short of the line. I don't want to come up short of that which God has made for me. That time and appointed time that I stand before Him and either hear the words, well done, or depart from me. How many would say, Lord, we've preached in Thy name. We've cast out devils in Thy names and have done many. We've did miracles. We've done it. And the Lord say, depart from me. You come up short. You didn't really have it. Another scripture over in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 16:13. Watch ye. What's that mean? Watch the things that are going on around you. It means spiritually, pay attention. Pay attention to the time. Pay attention to your own motion. Pay attention to yourself in life. Watch ye. Be careful. Know that you're... I don't believe in a victory-less life. So I'm not... That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the potential for every one of us to lose out. There's victory, sure. There's also a potential for every one of us to lose out. Watch ye that you don't. Watch ye that you don't. To pay attention to those things. Is it more important? Is the things that you have more important than being saved forever? To be with the Lord forever? I hope not. Lord, whatever it costs, whatever it takes, that's what I want to do. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Y'all, to me, I've felt the challenges before. The pressures that comes, that tries to move me off of a solid place. But stand fast. Trust in the Lord. You say where and when and why. I can't answer all of the places that the Lord will, but I will tell you this, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord for all of it. Trust in the Lord. Know that He's God. Know that He rules in the affairs of men. Know that the things of life, it's in His hands. See, Know it. Trust in Him. Stand fast in the faith, knowing He loves you. He's all powerful. Trust God. Stand in the faith. And it says, quit ye like men and be strong. I like that scripture. Nothing against the women here. But quit ye like men means that you bear up. Be a man. There's something about that. Be what you was created to be. Be strong. I ain't saying that you know, I'm not as strong as I used to be, and I know I'm not going to be as strong as I am now. That is what it's talking about. It's talking about fortitude, resolve. It's talking about the things of God. Quit in the spirit like a man. You know how a man quits when he's got a job to do? When there's something facing him that has to be done? Against all odds, what does he do? How does he quit? He don't. Till he sees the end of it, he don't quit. Never quits. It's always there to do. Can he be delayed? Sure. Can something cause him to be deterred? Yeah, those things can happen, but how does he quit? He don't. Quit you like men. Stay in there. This is for both genders. Quit like men, women. You women, quit like men. Don't quit. Keep on going. Have a desire in there that I'm not going to come up short. I'm going to see the blessings of God on me. Oh, that's the way we ought to pray to the Lord without quitting, without stopping. I'm encouraged by those in the scriptures that had that kind of idea. Old Jacob wrestled. He never said, I'm just going to wrestle for an hour. And if I don't get it, I'll know it's done. That's the way we like to throw out our fleeces. Lord, I'm going to pray hard for the next 30 minutes. He said, I ain't letting you go. I ain't letting you go. How long was he going to hang on to him? Till you bless me. Does that mean that when dawn comes? No, he didn't say when dawn comes. He said, I ain't letting you go. Dawn, noon, next night, I'm hanging on till you bless me. And the answer came. There is that kind of a desire that the Lord wants us to have. Keep on till you get it. Hang on to it. Jesus didn't just say, I'm going to go pray three times in the garden. Jesus prayed till he hit home. Jesus taught us. He prayed, and what happened when he had it resolved? So he come back, said, pray with me. And he went back, not my will, but thy will be done. Still wasn't enough. He did it again. He quit like a man. He stayed in there, and finally there come a time that he said, thy will be done. And the angel came. You do it till you get it. So that you don't come up short of it. Right. Folks, there's no shame in it. Understand the only shame is to come up short. There's no shame in coming and saying, I need to fix something. I need to get something right here. Lord, help me to have the courage. Help us have the desire. It's worth it. I'm going to tell you, God's still got to work in 2013. Hey, there's plenty. There's plenty to do. There's plenty of people. There's plenty of things. Lord, help us to not come up short in our lives. And that was right there before us was so much. But we never had the passion to do it. Lord, help us. That there's a whole world around us lost and we don't have the desire to reach out to them? Or can we be honest and say, is it all right to be honest and say that I've got something ahead of the Lord? And Lord, I want you to help me to fix that. Well, if you got something ahead of the Lord, you better fix it. So it's a good thing to say, I've let something slip in here, got it ahead of the Lord, and I need help to get it out of there and get it back in the proper place. That's why we have meetings like this. So that we don't come up short in the end of it. My desire, my burden is that we would consider that God has given us an opportunity to look into ourselves with His help of His Spirit, to look into ourselves today and pinpoint that thing that would cause me to come up short of the victory that I need in my life. And I believe as we do that, the Lord would honor that. But I'm going to tell you something. You can get help from the Lord and get passion and feel good and then leave this meeting and be challenged again. This is ongoing. Ongoing. Lord, help me not to come up short of the victory that's in the Lord. That I always maintain, no matter what, I believe the secret of making it is in that song when he said, I'll have it if I'll continue to go on. Make the resolve, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not giving in. I'm not letting down. I'm going to go all the way with you, Lord. Help me to be able to do that. If I've got to say I'm sorry, I'll say I'm sorry. If I've got to humble myself, I'll humble myself. I'll go where you want me to go and I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. But giving up's not an option today. I mean, to go to heaven, you pray for me.